less than 2 weeks away now from the start of college football season, specifically the start of UNLV football season. I'm Case Kiefer here with Mike Romala and Ray Brewer. It's been a few weeks. We wanted to get caught back up on the Rebels before they take the field on a couple Saturdays. Mike's been out at practice. I know Brewer's been plugged in. Just want to ask guys, well, what have you seen out there so far? What has changed since the last time we got together and spoke about the season?
I mean, so I think here's what we have to ask Romala. Forget about me, because I already had their season ending in Phoenix at the Fiesta Bowl. But now that you've gone out and seen some practices and scrimmages, and Armani has looked, dare I say, above average slash good, or you could see that Armani could be potentially good, are you now on Team Fiesta Bowl?
Fiesta Bowl, maybe not quite, but I do know that he has probably exceeded the expectations of the coaching staff anyways. Like, they, as much as they liked him, it seems like after every practice, Tony Sanchez is raving about him and some play that he made and, you know, some long pass that he completed, and his teammates especially are, you know, just talking about the way that, you know, they're able to make big plays when he's on the field. So Armani is, for being, you know, a freshman quarterback, which is usually kind of a question mark, he is the least of, you know, any worries for UNLV. Like, he seems like he's pretty rock solid, you know, ready to start the season.
Seems like that might be the case, you know, not to go too far, but it seems like the offense as a whole, there's just not a lot to be worried about right now. I think this is the same direction we went last time, but really my questions are, I feel like this could be a surprise team if you look offensively at all they have, but I'm still just worried about the defense and wonder how they've looked so far.
It's a work in progress. Like, defense is, you know, at every level, basically, there are still, you know, positions and position groups that are up for grabs, and they're looking for guys that can, you know, make plays and be consistent. The defensive line, you know, they like Mike Hughes. They've got a couple guys there that they think can fill in. You know, linebacker, Brian Keyes, Farrell Hester are fighting out for that middle linebacker spot. They like Gabe McCoy at one of the outside linebacker spots. He's a sophomore, they think has got some upside. They're rotating, you know, four cornerbacks in, and those guys are just fighting out. That may end up being a week-to-week situation, or whoever is, you know, playing better at the time. So, like, you know, that second level, the linebackers in the secondary is probably going to be your biggest question mark for the Rebels. Can they get some? Is anyone going to stand out in this last week of training camp and in the week leading up to the season opener? Is there anyone that's going to separate themselves from the pack and really claim those jobs? Because I don't think that's happened yet. Tony Sanchez hasn't indicated that that's really happened yet.
And I think that's where we're going to, you know, can they outscore teams? Yeah. Will that put pressure on the defense? Yeah. Can they win games just being slightly, marginally better than last year? I don't know. I think that for UNLV to have a winning season, they're going to have to be able to consistently stop some folks. And they also have to have, you know, a slew of bodies that they could rotate in and out of there. You just can't have your ones playing every snap, 80 snaps, maybe getting tired, and if an injury happens, the dam breaks. So I think the whole season's going to be dictated defensively. We know they're going to score offensively. We rave about all their offensive pieces, right? Boyd, Keyes, Williams, Rogers, and whomever else. It's, can they stop folks? And for me, all roads lead to Idaho. You know you're going to beat Howard at home. You know you're going to get some confidence, and it's that Idaho game that, for me, still is going to define the season. Team they beat last year, you're on the road. Are you going to be able to go in there, score, defend, and win the game?
Here's what I would say about the defense and getting stops, is that not all stops are created equal, and not all scoring drives are created equal. For the defense, the main thing last year was – just the amount of big plays given up. It's a killer for the defense when you're just giving up, you know, big chunk plays. So if you can even just elevate that defense to the level of, you know, bend a little bit before, you know, you can still break once in a while, but just bend a little bit before you break, you know, make it, you know, if you make teams, you know, 8-9 play drives, at least make them work a little bit. You give yourself a chance to make a play, or you give the offense a chance to make a mistake. It's the deep balls down the sideline where last year they didn't have cornerbacks that could play those balls. They gave up too many easy plays, too many easy scoring plays. That's got to be the first thing you cut down on defense, and you can go from there. If you can just sort of shore that up, that just puts you in a better position on the all levels to sort of be just a more competitive defense. You don't need to shut people down. You just have to be more competitive.
I don't really know where to go with this, but just an interesting nugget I wanted to throw in looking at some of UNLV's numbers from last year. And the defense was absolutely abysmal. I mean, they're near the bottom of FBS in just about every defensive category. But one that stands out that's not really their fault, average starting field position, they were 119th in the country. Special teams, something we always overlook, don't really talk about. I thought it was kind of taken for granted that Tony Sanchez was a great special teams coach, his special teams were good. But clearly there was a problem on that side of the ball. Not really side of the ball, on that unit. You would hope that the defense, which is going to need all the help it can get some better luck in that department.
Yeah, coverage kick coverage is going to be important. And also you hope that the offense can – I mean, it's going to be an offensive team. I feel like we've talked about this a few times. It's going to be an offensive team. The offense has to help them out. The offense has to be better than the defense is bad. Like, you've got to help them in terms of field position. You've got to help them – in terms of time of possession. The longer the Rebels offense can stay on the field, the more rested their defense will be. Just little things like that, you know, those hidden, you know, if you pick up an extra first down, that's another 10 or 15 yards that your defense, you know, you give them a longer field to defend, even if you end up punting. Little things like that can go a long way. So, yeah, it's a complementary effort. I'm still not going to put it on the defense. I still think they're going to have to win games on offense. If you're going to win six or seven games, the offense is going to probably have to win all of those for you.
I mean, here's the deal. There's not a team on the schedule minus Ohio State that they're not going to be able to score on.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. They should, if they play any of those other games and they're held, you know, under 20 points, that you're probably going to come away from that game saying, you know, what happened? Like, that's probably means it was a high turnover game. Or you just got – there was just a no-show by the offense. Those are games you'll be extremely disappointed in if they have – you know, if they're scoring in the teens.
I think I agree to an extent that there's, like, not a team that they shouldn't be able to score that much, but it's a long season and things happen. Like, there will certainly be one of these games. Like, there's some decent defenses on the schedule. I know Brewer thinks BYU is terrible, but I would not be surprised at all if they didn't score very much on BYU or San Diego State. And at the end of the day there's Armani Rogers, as excited as we are, as great as he's looked, still a young guy. You got to think he's going to have an off day at some point. So I think that pressure of the offense, you know, having to score 28 points a game or whatever, I think that's going to make Brewer's Fiesta Bowl prediction a little bit tough to come by.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that should give you some hope as a UNLV fan, because we're talking about how many games can – it's impossible for the offense to win every game. But for you and I, case, Rabe is not included. But you and I, we're not counting on them to win every game. We just need them to win six. You know, you just got to win six. I think the offense can win you six games. Like, if you were saying, can this team win 10 games and go to a New Year's bowl game, I would say, you know, no. The offense is going to slip up too many times. That's not going to happen, obviously. But they can do it six times, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a lot of pressure to put on a first-time starter. There's going to be an adjustment period. He's not going to be Jameis Winston, even though I want him to be. Where Jameis Winston redshirted at Florida State, came in and won a, you know, national championship. But, you know, you go back to that 12-game schedule, and aside from the Ohio State game, I think they could compete in every game. I don't look at it as like, okay, they're going to lose. You know, like later on we'll do some high school picks, and there's just some games where you're like, okay, Liberty's playing Valley, freaking hopefully nobody gets hurt. I think UNLV's got a chance in 11 of 12 games.
One thing I want to kind of take a step back, because we all are just kind of, as you can hear, all high on the offense, all saying that Armani Rogers, even if he has those struggles, is going to be good overall. And I know a lot of folks are familiar with what he's done, but just to take a step back, what have you seen, Mike, out of Armani Rogers in training camp that makes him even better than maybe we expected? Because there's a lot of hype going in, and it seems like now it's just a fact that he's going to be good. What has impressed you with him in these last few weeks?
Well, the first thing for anyone that sees him out there, the first thing that stands out is just the size. Like, he's just a huge dude. He goes into the offensive huddle, and he's basically the biggest guy in there. But then, you know, when you see him move around and keep the ball and run, he's also, you realize he's also the fastest, most athletic guy on the field, and he's slipping tackles, he's breaking. A lot of UNLV's, a lot of their best plays this year are going to be the pocket breaks down, Armani breaks contain and runs for 40 yards, and he's just downfield and he's making people miss. Like, those are going to be some of their best and most exciting plays. He just has that natural ability to do that. And the thing that's, sort of, I guess, would be, maybe he was an area where he's ahead of where you might think he would be for his age is everyone that I've talked to from the players and coaches say that the leadership is coming along. He has a real ownership of the offense at this point. And I think that's probably due to the fact that they made that call pretty early. I don't know. I don't think they, publicly announced it, very early, but I think going into spring ball, the feeling among pretty much everyone inside and outside the team was that he was the guy. They were giving him the keys, like it was Armani's team, and that has sort of given his teammates a chance to adapt to that and get to know him in that role. And when you're the quarterback, you have to be the leader, and I think that so far he's shown a good progression there, and it seems like most of the players look up to him and respect him in that role.
I remember that first game last year against
Jackson State. Yeah.
Stanton, maybe his first pass was to Boyd over the middle, and Boyd took it to the house for a touchdown, 80 yards. And Howard is a similar opponent, and the result could be similar. And Rodgers is probably going to go in next Saturday and have a game where we're going to be writing about how he's Joe Montana.
Yeah, I would say maybe if he has that game, we might want to pump the brakes just a little bit. As we saw last year, Jackson State was awful. They won 63-13, which was exciting because that's not what the UNLV of the past would even do against teams like that. But whatever happens against the Bison, I think we need to just be a little easy, because like Brewer said, I think the next week at Idaho is going to be a lot more telling. I think that's basically a coin flip game on paper. So what happens there, I think it's going to be about a pick'em in sports books. I wouldn't say that's like the most important game of the season, as I think Brewer might have said earlier. I mean, obviously, whatever momentum you have, even if you win that game, is going to be I don't believe in momentum really to begin with, but it's going to be crushed going to Ohio State, and the conference is a lot more important. But I think that game's going to be telling of where UNLV actually is.
Year three, Sanchez, his guys playing at many positions, bigger and stronger up front, legit athletes at tailback and quarterback. You need to go into Idaho and win that game. It's that simple.
Yeah, I mean, that's especially when you're talking about the margin that they're working with, where it's if you expect them to be, 7-5 or 6-6, that one game can make the difference. And the fact that that game, and you look back, at what happened last year, and there was one that they let slip away at home, that's if you let the same thing happen again this year, there's a good chance if UNLV goes into Idaho and they drop that game and they're in position to win it and they don't pull it out for whatever reason, you just get the feeling that at the end of the year they're going to look back and regret it. That's going to be the game that they regret.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're in agreement there. I think one thing about talking so much about Armani Rodgers is we do kind of glance over just how great these skill guys should be. I mean, he's got a lot of help around him and should be a handful for Idaho or anyone to, be covering Boyd and Keys and those running backs.
Do you worry about a freshman, even if he is a redshirt freshman, going into your second game of the year on the road to play at Idaho in a game that, is going to, it seems most people think is going to be, as you said, like a pick'em, a close game, could go either way. Do you think there's any trepidation of having, Armani Rodgers being, that being his first road experience?
Yeah, I do think so. And I know Brewer just had to step out. He would, jump down our throats and say that's not true. But I just think you've seen so often in college football that, that first road game does mean something. And I know Idaho, not the best program, not at their highest time, but still they usually pack that Kibbe Dome. It's like kind of a weird place to play, I believe, where they play. So you never know how they're going to respond to that. I mean, they should be right on par with them, at least talent wise, but you never know how that's going to exactly go. So I think that's one you got to look ahead to right away and just wonder how that's all going to play out.
And I think that, if you're looking at the whole of the schedule, you just feel a lot better if you're 2-0 making that trip to Ohio State than you would be if you were, 1-1.
Definitely, I agree. But before we wrap it up, since we'll be back to give, I guess, more official predictions next week. But we've talked so much about at Idaho. Howard, September 2nd, the first game, as I mentioned, 63-13 last year against Jackson State. Do you think the expectation fan-wise is going to be something similar to that at Howard? Or I mean, is there anything we can learn out of this game? What are we going to be looking for 10 or 12 days from now, whenever that game is?
I think the only thing you can take out of it is you want to see something like that again. You want to see a 40-50-point win. You would like to see – obviously, if Rodgers struggles, that's a bad sign. But even that, you know, I wouldn't that wouldn't be ominous. It would just be, you know, sort of peculiar and, you know, a first week thing. You could sort of write it off until it happens again. But obviously, if it would be everyone would be calm and everything would be fine if they just come out and win big and Rodgers plays well. It doesn't really matter how they do it. If they 400 yards passing, 500 yards rushing, or whatever. It's if you want to see UNLV win very comfortably and you want to see Rodgers look like a guy who can be your starting quarterback this year.
All right, well, that's our check-in with the Rebels. Really excited to get this started so we don't have to project anymore and just see what happens. We'll be back one more time before the start of the season to look and see if Ray Brewer is sticking to his 8-4 prediction with a little more information out there. Howard, as we said, September 2nd, excited to get this started. For Ray and Mike, I'm Case. This was the Rebel Room.